you're talking about?
Deadpool?
No.
Movies, TV shows?
Comic books?
Yep.
Dressing up, Spider.
Boston, Bangor. Portland, our comics?
No. No, I don't know. Good stuff. Hello and welcome to the WIP, the What If Podcast, that's a work in progress. I'm your host, Captain Charisma, the Slim James, and of course, Captain and Coke, the franchise, conspicuous by his absence, Captain Gown, Andrew the Giant. He's on paternity leave, so get well soon. We hope you feel better after having that baby. And I suppose your wife would probably feel something too. The title of this episode, Oh Captain, My Captain, as we discuss the Captain Marvel, Captain Universe, and the Marvel Universe. Another title I was thinking of, Close Captaining.
For the hearing impaired.
This is a podcast. It's wait. Oh, God. So you'd have to read. Oh, good.
Just write the whole thing.
Well, I mean, I got
your screen.
I got my notes, so I could just copy and paste those. It may vary, but
read the notes.
Yeah, I don't have your bits written in. So, Captain Universe first appeared in Micronauts number 8.
I got that.
Me too. Yes, Micronauts, the first series.
That's going to be a movie. No, The Rock Johnson is actually attached to being part of the Micronauts movie.
Yes, but they're all toys, so they're not owned by Marvel anymore. So there's no cross-dimensional, including my boy Rom Space Knight. He's not gonna show up.
No.
But maybe Captain Universe. He's the one. He links the universe. Point is, Captain Ray Coffin was offered the Unipower when Baron Karza escaped the Microverse to, and I'm quoting here, menace Earth.
That's like a goal in life. Like, that's pretty sad.
The Unipower supposedly shows up in times of great peril, but in the Marvel Universe, isn't there constant universe-threatening peril all the time, especially on Earth and its heroes? So, like, shouldn't Captain Universe always be around?
Yes.
Yeah. Galactus, Captain Universe. Thanos, Captain Universe. Stilt Man, Captain Universe.
Stilt Woman? Captain Universe doesn't stand a chance.
Exactly. Captain Galaxy, although universe is bigger. Captain Omniverse. Captain Reality.
Captain Multiverse? Is that a thing? Sounds like a thing.
The Captain Universe powers floated around a bunch. At first, it was part of Marvel Spotlight, I believe. And the crux of the stories was that ordinary people would get the power to solve threats.
Well, that's kind of cool, because then you see yourself in it. Like, something's going to happen, and I'm going to get blessed with the Omnipower. Except then, no, it didn't happen, and everyone just burned.
Yeah, and, you know, there's limited shelf life in that. This normal person gets the Omnipower, takes care of it. Now, like, if they got the Omnipower, then interacted with, say, Nova or Spider-Man, because he was in every one of those late 70s, early 80s comic books, you know, then you might get a little more appeal. But it sort of faded into the background.
So does the, like, the Unipower know who's a good person, and it's not going to jump in the body of someone who really wants to do evil, and they're like, oh, if only I had all the power, I could crush people to my will.
I think so, because it's reacting to a threat.
Okay.
So it knows what evil is, so we could assume it possesses good people, like the dog.
Unimut.
Exactly. There was also a limited series where it bounced around from existing hero to existing hero, like Hulk, Daredevil. Unfortunately, no Machine Man or Mudbutt, Captain Universe.
No?
No.
What does Hulk need Captain Universe powers for?
Being blue. Like, that's
really?
Yeah, Blue Hulk. That's what,
that's where Blue Hulk came from?
That's a Blue Hulk.
I don't know if there's any other Blue Hulk.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and that's another, instance where the cover looks cooler than the, because he, I don't know. I just like the way it looks on the cover. But in the comic, it's sort of, it just looks like they color swapped green for blue, and it's still the Hulk. And he doesn't destroy everything, despite the fact that he's already the Hulk and now has
Captain Universe
atomic messing with powers.
Malleability.
Exactly. Its latest host was more semi-permanent, an amnesiac named Tamara DeVoe, who got amnesia in a car crash just for explanation's sake. You know. McWorld. Yeah, so, like, she was Captain Universe and hung around the Avengers more. Okay. Semi-permanently, but now she isn't. And I don't know the current state of the Captain Universe power. Probably floating around there somewhere.
Maybe it went to some place other than Earth.
Maybe it'll show up on Weird World with Black Knight.
What?
Whoa.
Maybe it'll show up on Duck World with Howard.
Wow. Ah, Captain Uniduck. But its most famous appearance was with Spider-Man.
Of course, as everything is.
Yes. In Spectacular Spider-Man 158, a storyline started where Spider-Man was possessed by the Captain Universe power because Loki, not Loki, made a tri-sentinel. Three sentinels fused together.
Isn't that a thing? Like, haven't the X-Men had to fight things like tri-sentinels?
Well, there was the time where Master Mold, like, fused with Nimrod to make Master Rod. Rodmaster.
Rodmaster, yeah.
Exactly. While cool-looking, it seems a bit odd that the Uniforce would show up to help Spider-Man fight a giant robot when Spider-Man, you know, he probably could take on a big giant robot by himself anyway, because Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Robots,
Yeah, and he's faced far greater threats, probably, without the Uniforce showing up. The hell. Either way, after the threat dissipates, the power goes too. But Marvel asked, what if Spider-Man had kept his cosmic powers? Volume 2, issue 31.
Seems a little thicker, too.
I think it's got a... doesn't have an advertisement in the middle.
The advertisements.
Yeah, it's got a thick, glossy advertisement for...
Dungeons and Dragons.
Dungeons and Dragons and, like, Nintendo games or trading cards.
Slam, wham! Put yourself in there.
Game Boy. There it is.
And wham, Wild Agents of Marvel.
The less successful cousin of the Merry Marvel Marching Society. Starting off, snazzy cover, with cartoony Captain Spider-Verse, the souls of Spider-Man shooting out of him, blasting Venom's face off while standing over Dr. Doom's dead body. I like it, and I'm pretty sure this is a comic I had since I was a child. Like, this is sort of one of those ones that made me want to collect all of the what-ifs, eventually. Yeah.
Definitely got that 90s feel to it.
Oh, yeah. And it's, of note, the issue has a color misprint on the eye in If, of What If. And it's like that on, like, all the issues, so it's not a rare misprint. They just done fucked up. Intro. Captain Universe possesses a dog who saves a couple of hot air ballooners. Comics. Watcher explains to us this whole Captain Universe Spider-Man thing, which I already just did.
Wait a minute. If that is worthy, if a dog, like, and his owner and his owner's girlfriend are worthy of Captain Universe, how come Captain Universe power isn't just hanging out in Africa?
Well, racist. Yeah.
Captain Universe is a racist.
Exactly.
I'll save these two white hot ballooners, but not a whole tribe full of little kids.
It only costs like $1 a day, Captain Universe. God damn it. Do they know it's Christmas time? No. The answer may surprise you.
No, they don't.
Spider-Man explodes with rage and the big splash asking, why am I still Captain Universe?
That's the worst thing that's ever happened to me. Ever.
He goes back to MJ, who's drawn like an especially cheap floozy. Her boobs are just sticking out to all wazoo, and her hair's huge. She's sort of like a parody of like Peg Bundy, but with a hot face.
Well, did you know it's the 90s?
Yeah, those boobs will tell you. Pete thinks the Uniforce stuck around because of his Uncle Ben levels of responsibility. They know they got a keeper in Spintermensch.
Right.
So he hangs around. And he also shows off one of his Unipowers, atomic manipulation, by making MJ a spider girl costume, putting more clothes on her. So
that's hot.
Yeah.
That's hot. Oh, you look just like me.
Yeah,
oh,
and also the fact that he kind of wants to have sex with himself.
Well, who wouldn't when you're Spider-Man?
I might be up for it. He also has no pupils, because Uniforce.
Yeah, yeah. That I found really creepy.
Yeah, and it seems like if he has atomic manipulation, A, he's God, and B, he could give himself some pupils real quick.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I think he phases his costume on and off because of atomic manipulation, right. So why can't he phase some pupils on?
Yeah, they don't have to even work.
Exactly.
Just put little colored dots in your eyes.
Like the Simpsons character. Just black dots right in the middle.
Grab a Sharpie.
So he tears shit up for a few pages, reassembling the face of the Hobgoblin, who was in his... he's not quite Demo Goblin. He's demonic Hobgoblin.
Yep, okay.
Before it separated to become Demo Goblin. So he reassembles his face to look like Peter Parker, because that's what he thought of first. He wants to have sex with himself as his wife, and then he makes his enemy look like him. Peter Parker.
Who then later has sex with his enemy.
Oh my god.
Looking like him.
But he gets the Hobgoblin to have sex with Mary Jane while he watches, so he can watch himself have sex with his wife.
And I mean, I guess he's got the Captain Universe power, but didn't he just give away his secret identity?
Oh, I made you look like me! I mean, my favorite photographer. Because we have a special relationship. And I want to watch him have sex with Mary Jane. Bye! And he brings Venom into orbit for a second, so he can chill! As Arnold Schwarzenegger, as Mr. Freeze would say.
Or just as the mayor, or the mayor, the governor.
Oh, I was thinking as Jingle All the Way, man.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, he gets like a frost beard up in space.
Uh-oh.
And this beating convinces Venom to go good, so he takes a feud with Peter Goblin.
But wait a minute, didn't Venom ride in on a asteroid or a meteor, and so he can survive space pretty okay?
Well, he was inside. Plus, he was on the alien planet. Like, if you're thinking of, like, other...
Oh, that's right. I'm thinking of more, like, in the TV show in the 90s, yeah. How he got to Earth. That's
yeah.
Right.
So...
Sorry. Yeah. My bad.
Yeah, come on. Come on, guys. This is 616 we're talking about. So, with his responsibility and Univision seeing all the bad stuff going on, another one of his indeterminate godlike powers, Peter begins to ignore Mary Jane in favor of solving all of the world's problems. Luckily, he made her a spare Peter Parker in Hobgoblin, so she can get hers.
It's essentially just like a dildo.
Aunt May takes off Pete's sunglasses, because he was wearing them indoors like a cool guy.
Come on, that's disrespectful to your Aunt May.
Uh-huh. But that exposed his Una eyes, so Aunt May faints.
She's got the vapors, something bad.
Uh-huh. Pete eventually pushes MJ away and battles the Avengers as he becomes possessed with stopping all evil all the time everywhere. You know, it's sort of one of those ultimate responsibility things.
Yeah, I mean, it would happen to Spider-Man.
Yeah,
he would be the guy that just goes crazy off the deep end. He has to save everyone all the time.
Dr. Doom shows up and uses his Captain Universe stealing gun, which he invented real quick.
Well, he also had, like, a Beyonder Power stealing gun, a Silver Surfer stealing gun, so...
So stealing guns is his true forte.
That's right.
So he steals the Captain Universe power, but Spider-Man's awesomeness is too strong, and it goes right back. Spider-Man then disperses the Unipower across the globe, joining all of humanity in a moment of shared cosmic consciousness, giving us a little world peace for a second, I guess. But he doesn't have spider powers now. It took his spider powers to expunge his cosmic powers. Doesn't really make sense, but don't worry about it. Because the spider powers are sort of physiological. They're like
Well, it changes DNA, because atomic...
manipulation.
There you go.
Then in the last panel, MJ gives birth to the presumed May Parker, who has who has the Una eyes and the Spidey sense. So much tingling.
Oh my! But is it really Peter's, or is it Hobgoblin Peter's?
Oh my god! Because he's got to have some residual Unipower on his face. So that
it's
came
all
when,
up in here.
So when he ate her out and then impregnated her, Unipower is just everywhere.
Spidey sense.
So I loved this comic as a kid, and it's still fun enough to read now. You get some cool moments like the Venom Pete Goblin feud, as well as Spider-Man actually trying to use awesome power to solve all the world's problems. You know, like I said, it's true to his character. Gives you a nice dilemma. He can't really do that, even though he wants to so bad.
So bad!
Thor appears by Thor and Captain America, as well as the Unipower-possessed Doom for real quick, looking cool. It has a resolution that's a little more nuanced than Spider-Man dying or some shit, which is, you know, how a lot of these what-ifs end up. Main character dies or somebody dies. He just forsakes or gives up his powers to help the world a little bit.
And they only help it for a moment, though, and then everyone goes right back to being a dick.
Pretty much. Such is humanity. Yeah. I think that's the real takeaway.
Humanity can be distracted into doing good, but
yeah,
that's about it.
So this book was written by Glenn Allen Herdling,
who wrote some
what the Uncanny Origins Black Knight, the like 99-cent Origins series, yeah, some Namor, and the official handbook to the Marvel Universe. He was in there.
And, no, wasn't everyone in there?
Yeah, drawn by Scott Allen McDaniel, who did I think the 90s Green Goblin, some 90s Spider-Man, some Daredevil, cartoony, but I don't mind it. except for, well, the Mary Jane's a little, it borders on, like, offensive.
Yeah.
How over the top she is.
This is in the 90s. Girls weren't buying comics, so it's okay.
Some characters get a little wonky, but it has good energy. It's like, wah! But what about the should-be flagship Captain of Marvel, Captain Marvel? Captain Marvel didn't start out as a uniquely Marvel captain, per se.
No.
In 1940, Fawcett Publications debuted Captain Marvel, a scant few months after Marvel Comics, a comic published by Timely, which had put the noun of Marvel on the map. It was just, everyone's marveling. Apparently Jack Kirby drew a few appearances of Shazam, or the original Captain Marvel.
Billy Batson?
Uh-huh. And at one point it was the hottest shit around, selling 1.5 million copies twice a month.
And that's back in the day.
Exactly.
That's saying something.
So long as the Golden Scorpion may fall into the hands of selfish men, it is the duty of Captain Marvel to protect the innocent from its evil use.
But who is Captain Marvel?
You are, my son. All that is necessary is to repeat my name, Shazam. By its repetition, you will become Captain Marvel. And take on the virtues you see recorded there. The wisdom of Solomon. The strength of Hercules. The stamina of Atlas. The power of Zeus. The great courage of Achilles. And the speed of Mercury. You must never call upon this power except in the service of right. To do so would bring the Scorpion's curse upon your own head. And now, my son, repeat my name and return to the rescue of your friends.
Shazam!
Of course, this was Captain Marvel as Shazam with his red suit and his lightning bolt emblem. DC Comics thought because he had black hair and a cape and a large body, Shazam was too close to Superman, and sued Fawcett, and DC eventually got the rights to the character and killed Fawcett.
Yeah, and now they still have him.
Yeah.
But he doesn't show up, and he's evil, right, sometimes? So.
Well, there's Black Adam. And,
Black Adam. Racism.
So in 1966, MF Enterprises made a comic called Captain Marvel, whose powers enabled him to reassemble and disassemble himself. This atrocious character made Stan Lee, or someone he took credit from, realize the name of Captain Marvel was up for grabs. So they made a cool space guy, but DC wasn't as cool with Marvel publishing a Captain Marvel as opposed to the tiny MF Enterprises.
Motherfucker.
Exactly. More legal wrangling ensued, and we ended up where we remain to this day. DC has the old Captain Marvel, but can't name a book that, thus being forced to call the books he's in Shazam or whatever.
But they can still call him Captain Marvel.
Yes, you but they can't name the title that. And Marvel has the rights to the name Captain Marvel, and it might have also been a use it or lose it type of deal, because much like the movie rights deals that vex Marvel to this day.
Yeah.
According to Brian Cronin of Comic Book Resources, they had to publish a Captain Marvel book every 1 or 2 years to retain the trademark. Well, that hasn't been hard and fast every 2 years. They have kept a character named Captain Marvel active consistently, including seemingly random one-shots for, like, Black Lady Captain Marvel.
Mm.
You know? First there was Mar-Vell, and knowing the context of the settlement with DC, it seems like Marvel was sort of trolling them. Mar-Vell, kind of like Kal-El. He's a humanoid alien from another planet who decides to dedicate himself to protecting Earth. Sound familiar?
A little. But he's blonde.
So, a couple similar to Superman, and the whole reason DC sued Fawcett in the first place. He's a Kree, but he decides to be a good pink guy. Kree, he's a good guy, pink-skinned Kree, to defend us from those evil blue-skinned Kree. Racist.
Very, very racist.
He eventually gets trapped in the negative zone and can only get out by trading places with Rick Jones when Jonesy clanks his bracelets together. The Negabands.
Tick-a-chang!
Exactly. So as long as I do a cool cross-arms pose.
That's right.
There was also Black Lady Captain Marvel, which according to my 50 years of Marvel book, just to confuse matters completely, yet another Captain Marvel was introduced by Marvel in 1982 and later joined the Avengers. This one is a black woman.
Monica Rambeau.
Yes. Photon. But this one is a black woman. That's how they end the paragraph and the whole subsection on Captain Marvel. And
but
black ladies are confusing. Like, that's confusing. Blah.
Man, prepare it. Like, all that stuff about the trademark and suing people, you could follow that. But try and wrap your head around this fact. Captain Marvel is a black woman.
There was also Genus, a cloned son of Captain Marvel, who then did the Trading Places routine with Rick Jones in his own Captain Marvel book circa the late 90s.
I remember that.
The one. Avengers Forever Era or whatever.
Yep.
In a Wizard number 0 preview I have, Captain Marvel says Shazam. So once again, it's all just trolling DC.
It's 90% of comics.
Then it passed on to Carol Danvers, who will be the Captain Marvel featured in the movie due to come out sometime.
My name is Ms. Marvel, and I'm here to welcome you to Earth. Now go home.
Will she be played by Ronda Rousey?
Probably not.
No, Ronda Rousey's a terrible actress.
And she got her ass kicked. If she had won that fight...
No, still. First, I watched the Saturday Night Live she hosted last night, dating this recording.
Yeah.
She was terrible. Oh. Can barely read off the cue cards.
Like, as bad as... who was that swimming guy? Michael Phelps?
Maybe a little better, but, like, she still just, like... Even if she has a little charisma, she like, reads everything real low. She was reading everything real low. And also, I heard rumor that she was going to be in a movie, and they drastically... Roadhouse. It wasn't that one. It's some other one. That they drastically reduced her role, because she was such a bad actress, favoring instead for more Mark Wahlberg.
Well, hey, so, I just saw Mark Wahlberg join over this weekend. Daddy's Home? With Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg?
Uh-huh.
You seen previews for that?
Yeah.
It's okay.
All right. Is it like The Other Guys too?
I was hoping it would be more like The Other Guys too, but it wasn't. But John Cena's in there too, and we've been talking about him in conversations.
Yes. Well, also then, Ronda Rousey, she was not going to be able to make it to this year's WrestleMania because she was filming, but now she got her part severely reduced, so maybe she'll be at WrestleMania. Hey. By the way, in terms of for our 1 second wrestling talk, wrestling sucks super big time right now. Like, everyone got injured, so there's nobody left.
No.
Like,
yeah. So now's the time for the little guy.
Spike Dudley. Save us.
And so, Nunzio.
Yes. Spike Dudley and Nunzio. But what happened to the first Captain Marvel? Or the second? The third, technically. Captain Marvel.
Didn't we do one about him dying of cancer? Have we talked about that?
I mean, it might have come up in passing.
Why don't you let me borrow the book?
Yeah.
Captain Marvel.
But yeah. I don't remember that, I let you borrow it for this. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that was a while ago, though.
Yeah. Well, I was laying the groundwork. You probably mentioned it briefly, but we're getting into it.
All right.
He died. He got cancer in a battle with Nitro in Captain Marvel number 34. He battled Nitro, and in an attempt to contain an exploding tank of nerve gas, Captain Marvel pinched it shut, which is the best way to contain your gas. But in the process, he contracted cancer. Of course, this only came up years later in sort of a retcon in the Death of Captain Marvel graphic novel. Marvel's first ever dedicated graphic novel, long-form, deluxe presentation.
I didn't know that was the first one.
Oh, yeah. The Death of Captain Marvel is an especially poignant read, as it's very down-to-earth, even if it takes place on a not-Earth. As Marvel comes to peace with dying. Like, that's what a bulk of the comic is.
I mean, it is well done. It's not flashy and superhero fights. It's all about sort of connecting and being a human, even when you're an alien.
Exactly. He begins to wither as the Negabands actually preclude Mr. Fantastic and other super geniuses from discovering a cure. It keeps his cancer at bay, but it also keeps them at bay. Oh, the irony!
Oh, too many bays.
So, you know, and he rattles off a pretty heavy quote that I gravitated towards, and I quote, "Deep down inside me, I felt that those special things that make me who I am would just live forever. It's hard to accept the world is going on without me." Which is, you know, true of all mankind. We think, you know, the things that make us special are
special.
Yeah, but really, the big wheel keeps on turning. Proud Mary.
Keeps on burning.
Exactly.
Rolling.
Yeah, that's a way to deal with our own mortality.
Listen to CCR.
Exactly. No, Tina Turner.
Oh. I don't know about that.
So yeah, Captain Marvel's death is so monumental because it actually stuck. There may have been a couple of flashback stories or time travel things, but Marvel has stayed dead. seems weird because people who have been dead or have been revived, but the human nature of Mar-Vell's cancerous death sort of makes what makes it special. It shouldn't be undone because he's like that sort of. It's one thing to be killed in a hail of bullets and Doctor Strange uses magic to revive you, right. But like, when you die of cancer, like it might be sort of an affront to cancer victims, and especially when there's lots of other people who could be Captain Marvel.
Right, and so, like everyone was trying to save him. They already had their chance to bring him back from the dead before he died.
Yeah.
And they all failed.
Yeah, so...
A lesson in humility for all of them.
Yeah, and so Captain Marvel's greatest contribution is actually his death. Because it made a good story, and it actually stuck.
Yeah. I mean, who else has stuck dead? Uncle Ben.
Yep. Some of the new warriors, like said.
Oh, right, after the Civil War.
Yeah, Nitro. Nitro is the key. He kills people and makes them stay dead.
That's right. He was the burglar who shot Uncle Ben.
Yes, a burglar. Committing burgoogalies.
I was thinking about the Hamburglar.
Hamburglar. Captain Marvel's death is really special, so it shouldn't be undone. So what if they undid it? What if Volume 2, Issue 14 asks, what if Captain Marvel had not died?
Then he would have died later.
One would think that because his death is so important, if he lived, he'd go on to do something enormous, universe-shaking. Not so much. This is the cover is a rip of Captain Marvel 29, a classic flying spaceman pose, with Silver Surfer, and the Skrull getting all jacked up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's floating around there.
Yeah, I see the pointy ears.
Uh-huh. With a space shadow, you know, are there shadows in space like that?
Sure. There's no sound, but...
So, first we get a recounting of his death, which I just did, and the difference in this universe, rather than ignoring his cancer initially, in this universe, he doesn't ignore it. Getting treated earlier, Mar-Vell survives!
Well, good. I mean, I think that's a good story about early detection saves lives.
Yes, get your yearly checkups and, you know, get a mammogram, Captain Marvel.
Check yourself.
Although that's offensive now, because Carol Danvers is a woman. Although it's not offensive, because you really should.
Yeah, come on, Carol. We don't want you to die, so check your breasts.
Exactly.
Not in the comic, maybe. Like, that would be offensive. Or, could it be a great PSA?
Oh, my... Blah. Mar-Vell, wanting to stop war, he goes on a rampage, wrecking the shit of both the Kree and the Skrull, then using the Omni-Wave, which is not a convection oven. It's like a big space PSA or whatever. It says, hey, Kree and Skrull, stop fighting or I'll kill you all! Silver Surfer, still stranded on Earth, visits the Fantastic Four and finds they're all dying! Especially the Thing! It turns out the cure for Mar-Vell's cancer causes him to give cancer to everyone around him.
Super cancer.
Oh no. Wah wah. So then, I believe Doctor Strange uses magic teleportation to help Silver Surfer circumvent... Oh my god. Silver Surfer circumvent...
His circumcision.
No. His earthbound prison. Which is...
It's almost what I said.
Uh-huh. He finds Captain Marvel, and they have a cosmic space battle as Surfer tries to knock some sense into him, telling him he's giving everyone cancer.
Hey, jerk.
Eventually, Captain Marvel accepts the truth, including that he's killing his wife, or possibly lover, maybe wife, Eliseus.
Oh, yes.
He comes back to Earth, where Mr. Fantastic has formulated a cure for other people's cancer from Rick Jones' blood, because Rick Jones and Captain Marvel are intermingled with the Negabands so much that Rick Jones has got it going on.
Comics.
Exactly. Knowing he's a cancer upon the universe.
Oh!
He enters the plane of Roshnu, the white space slash nowhere.
I'm pretty sure there is a cancerverse in the Marvel Universe. I'm pretty sure that is an actual
thing. Yeah, I think from like Thanos did some stuff.
Yeah.
He should have went there.
That place he went that you're just describing became the cancerverse in our reality, or 616.
Perpendicular universes that connect the two. Exactly. Like two parallel lines intersected, and then you do the... Are they similar there?
Yes, they geometric, similar angles.
The geometric proofs. Mm-hmm. So, he enters white space, and Eliseus comes with him, and they live happily-ish in exile forever, presumably.
Just the two of them?
Yep. Building castles in the sky. No. So, overall, this was an unexpected story when I read it. While it's kind of poetic and or ironic that Captain Marvel, cured of cancer, becomes cancer, you would expect Captain Marvel to attain some sort of mythical greatness had he lived, instead of just going nuts by like trying to stop a Kree Skrull war by bullying and threatening to kill everybody.
Yeah.
Perhaps if he were more heroic first, the irony of him becoming a cancer on the universe would sting a little more. Instead, he acts like a jerk and then just goes into suspended animation or whatever.
Did they ever try to get the radioactive man to take a look at him?
No. The Simpsons one or the green one, Marvel one?
The green Marvel. I mean, I guess the Simpson one could have been humorous, but...
Up and at them.
Up and at them.
Up and at them. At them. No, what does Green Radioactive Man do in the Marvel Universe besides
being... He gives people cancer. Oh. I mean, like, I remember reading one where he was on the Thunderbolts, and he's like... He's getting brainwashed at the time. He's like, I think it would be a good idea to give everyone on the base cancer right now. Yes, and then he just started glowing until someone knocked him out.
There you go.
But I know he can... I don't know, he does radioactivity stuff to people.
I didn't know if he was, like... What, he was a villain and then became a good guy and discovered a cure for cancer because he's radioactive. I know if you're...
I know he was a villain, then he tried to be good, and then, like, China didn't want him back in the country because he was giving everyone cancer, and so then he got evil again.
Tales old as time. Villain tries to do good, gets refuted, then becomes villain again. Mm-hmm. Like Harley's Day Out, I think, in Batman, the animated series. Mm-hmm. She tries to turn straight, but then people think she stole stuff, so then she just... I'm Mr. J! Pudding!
I want to ride you!
Exactly. What's the euphemism for masturbating with a clown? Punch the clown.
I'm gonna punch the clown! Mr. J!
This what if. It was a... This what if was an interesting read, and different from a lot of what ifs I've read, because... You get a main character that's not all that great. Like
Captain Marvel, yeah, I never was a big fan.
Well, I meant in that he acts like a piece of shit. Oh. But, yeah, in when he in his normal run, he wasn't that interesting. There's a reason why he was chosen as the sacrificial lamb.
And not Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah. The story and art are by Matthew Jorgensen, co-written by Steve Rigenberg, both of have scant else for credits. He might have another What If and a Moon Knight book and maybe a 90s Guardians of the Galaxy annual for the Jorg.
Oh, so. Starring Charlie Alpha?
Exactly. And Vance Astro.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Gotta get that in.
So the telling thing about it is that Captain Marvel never ascended to main event status. The most interesting thing about the first Captain Marvel is how he died. Black Lady Captain Marvel was an Avenger on the level of Black Knight, insert Martin Lawrence race joke, and other Captain Marvels are often forgotten. Carol Danvers might be a strong character and make a good movie, but Captain Marvel has never been the most important captain in his or her eponymous universe.
No.
That distinction goes to Captain America, proving America is bigger than the universe, bigger than Marvel itself. USA! USA!
It's only because Captain Planet is not owned by Marvel. But isn't it owned by Disney?
I don't think so. I don't know. It should be, though. They could just buy the rights to that real quick and then...
Sure, Ted Turner's not doing anything.
Exactly. Yeah, anything else to say about Captain Marvel?
Captain, oh Captain, should go down with the ship.
Actually, in the Universe X, Earth X, those books,
yep.
Captain Marvel comes back from the dead as the new Jesus. He's reborn.
All right, isn't he the baby?
Yeah. And I don't know if it's just in the second or if it's in Earth-X as well, but he gets possessed by the Captain Universe power, so he's Captain Marvel Universe. Blah! it's sort of intentional and kind of a... It's not quite a joke, but like a nod and a wink to all the... giant cosmic powers that exist in the Marvel Universe that are all powerful.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I got nothing else. So in closing, I will remind you to follow us on Twitter at TheSlimJames or at Giant_Size, TheSlimJames.com, GiantSizeComicThings.com, the WIP What If Podcast is on iTunes, on Stitcher, on YouTube, and on Vimeo. So go out there and find us. And remember, don't spend the rest of your life asking, what if?